First John chapter 4, we want to continue our study through John's letter to the church. Last week we looked at the importance of having a discerning spirit and seeking to test the spirits when we're tempted, when we're tried, when false teaching comes. Verse 6, where we ended off last week, ended by saying, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." How do we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? Because we're the Lord's, and the Lord's spirit resides in us. And this evening we're going to be examining what it means to be a Christian. John, as he comes to this next portion of his letter, one would ask, well, he just got done teaching, and it's kind of like this parentheses, because he was talking about love and the love of the fellowship, the love of brethren, and then it was all of a sudden he was talking about false teaching and false spirits and how do we test them and where do they come from. And he's been interjecting the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist in the first portion of his letter. Why would he come back to the love of Christ? Because that's where it all is as Christians, and we have to understand what Jesus has done for us. This evening I'd like to look at beginning at verse 11, and we'll probably get through verse 14 or 15 this evening. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath, the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word tonight. And Father, help us to understand the truth that is contained within it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know something, I just realized I didn't start reading where I needed to start reading, and that was at verse 7. I was waiting for one of the verses, and I'm going, what's happening here? I want to just pick up and read verses 7 through 10, which I skipped, and which I need are key to what I want to study tonight, although it leads into what the last portion of the scripture that I just read. Verse 7, "Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth him." Knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that he loved God, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Why would John spend a big portion of his letter right after he's got done talking about error and the spirit of the Antichrist and how to test the spirits and dealing with love? I think it's evident in our world today when you look around and see the two spirits, the spirit of the Antichrist and the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Antichrist is a spirit of hate and death, a spirit of lies and deceit, a spirit that desires to deceive men and turn them away from the truth of God. The spirit of the Lord, on the other hand, is, as John is telling us here, is a spirit that manifests itself in true love. And what is love? And this is what he's going to be talking about, and what we're going to be looking at tonight and probably next week and maybe even a week after that as we examine these verses. For people to understand the significance of what it is to be a Christian and how that we should be so thankful for being a Christian. Do you realize that those who are not believers in Christ, although they, because they've been created in the image of God, and God has created them as moral beings, and God has given them a conscience that knows right and wrong, and there is evidence of some forms of love because they've been created in God's image, they can never experience the depth of love that we as Christians know because they don't know God, who is the author of love because He is love. Let's take a look at beginning at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He starts out by saying three things. He said that love is, first of all, that love is of God, and he's going to talk about love in our relationship to the Lord. And as we look at these verses, we're not going to get through all of them this evening, but there's three things that I want you to see that John does in examining love in our lives. The first thing that he does is he shows how that love manifested itself in the past in our life, when you became a Christian, and that you were reconciled to God, and that was done through His love, and it happened in the past of your life. If you're not a Christian this evening, then you haven't experienced that portion of God's love, but God desires to manifest that in your life as well. That's the first thing that happens to us, the first thing that we see, the depth of God's love, when we become a Christian and we're transformed in our character. We come from darkness into light. We're made new creatures in Christ. God gives us a spirit of discernment where we can really understand good and evil. We can understand truth and error. We can see what is really hatred and love, because all of a sudden we have experienced and know the author of love, the one who is love, and that is God. That happened in our past, and we're going to be examining that this evening. Then there's the present, and John's going to be talking about the present. We probably won't get there in our study tonight, but just to share, he manifests ourself in the present in that he shows his love to us and that he indwells us. He resides in our life, in our heart. Peter talks about that, where he says that we are being formed into the temple of the living God, that he resides in our hearts. He gives us his spirit. And so today, each one of us is a Christian. When we leave here tonight, and we go out and spend the rest of the week doing whatever we have to do, whether it's work or at home or with family, friends or coworkers, neighbors, no matter what we're doing, God is with us. He resides, His Spirit is in our hearts, in our life, directing our paths, and His love resides with us. The third thing that John reveals, and we're going to be studying probably not next week, but the following week, is the fact that God's love is going to be there in the future as well, in that we don't have to fear judgment. We don't have to fear the consequences of our sins being manifested in God's judgment falling upon us. Why? Because of God's love has taken the place of His judgment in our lives, and so we can stand and we don't have to fear judgment. And so that not only has God's love worked in the past in the Christian's life, it's working in the present, and it'll work in the future. Well, let's take a look at how it worked in the past, and also if there would be those that happen to listen to this, the audio of this message, as it goes out over the the airwaves, that they would see, if they're not a Christian, this as they listen to this, that God wants to begin working in their heart to manifest His love in their life. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. First thing I want you to see, that if you truly know how to love as God loves, and that is, how does God love? He loves unconditionally. It's the first thing. He loves unconditionally. He doesn't base His love. He didn't love us because of what He could gain from us. That's what the world does. It says, you know, I'll do things for you, but what do I get in return? And sometimes people won't be that blatant in saying it. They'll pretend they want to be your friend, but they expect something in return for being your friend. They're not going to be your friend just because you can't give them something in return. I remember way back when I was in high school, there would be kids that didn't have a lot to offer as far as they didn't come from wealthy families. They weren't the ones that were the athletes. They weren't the ones that were the brain kids or the smart kids. They were just ordinary kids. And oftentimes, they'd really be ignored, not only by other students, but by teachers too. Because they really, the coaches, the Phi Ed teachers would kind of ignore them because they would never be the athlete that could be put on the team that would make the coach's job easier and make the coach so he could go to the next level because he'd have a winning team. They'd be the kid that, I remember talking to an acquaintance of mine just this last week, and I asked him, oh, I remember when you were in high school with me, and did you play basketball? And he says, yeah, I was the one that was the perennial bench sitter, and the coach would come in at halftime and chew out the team because they were playing bad, and said, I should take you all out and put the ones that are on the bench in. And they'd look over and see me, and he'd go, well, no, not right now, but you guys need to play better. Those are the kids I'm talking about, and because they didn't appear to have anything to give. And so consequently, people wouldn't show them the affection and attention and love that they deserve because they couldn't get anything back from them. The other kids. Well, what can I get from you? If I spend time with you, I'm going to be teased by the other kids because why are you spending time with that person? Thank goodness that God isn't like that. God looked at us and He saw what? People that had real issues. People that had real problems. It didn't matter. Maybe we had money, maybe we had fame, maybe we had success, but we had real issues. Some of the most famous and successful people in the world have real problems, don't they? Because they're real sinners. And they're in real rebellion against God. And I remember reading listening to a message one time by a guy that was talking about the current rock scene in music. And the title of his message was, They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. And how that many of the contemporary singers gave up everything, including a relationship with God or seeking God, just for fame and fortune in the rock and roll music scene. And it's evident in the lyrics of their songs. But going back to this, God looks at us and He doesn't say, what am I going to get from that person? But rather, I can give them something that they could never get. And that's an expression of my love through my grace and mercy being extended to them by my sending my Son to take away their sins. And so that's the gift of God that He says. And we know love because we've been born of God. We've experienced His love. His love has been manifesting itself or revealing itself in our lives as He makes us a new creature in Christ. When He forgives our sins, empowers us, gives us a new spirit, He helps us to understand what we've been called out of and into, and He sees the transformation and He desires to make the transformation, rather, in our lives by His power through the blood of His Son. And He says here, He loveth, is born, everyone that loveth is born of God, and then we know God. Now I want you to stop and think about that for a second. If you're a Christian today, you know who God is. You realize that? We know who is the one who created everything. We know who the one is that sustains everything. We know who the one is that desires to redeem all mankind and has redeemed us. We know him. A lot of people don't know God. They're full of despair, despondency. You know, I just read and really pray for some of these people that have come out of the world and being really pretty deeply involved in the world, and then they get saved because it's really difficult for them. I think of the one rapper who is married to one of the Kardashian women, and I forget his name. It was right on the tip of my tongue. But he has really made some bold statements about Jesus and how that Jesus has made a difference in his life, and that knowing the Lord and experiencing the forgiveness for his sins has made a difference in his life. About a year ago, he went to the White House and stood up for President Trump and got a whole bunch of bad press for doing that. And now he is making a lot of statements about Jesus. He puts on a concert and talks about the Lord. Just pray for him that God will continue to help him grow and mature. He'll have greater discernment and understanding, but also continue to have boldness, because the pressure is going to be great against him. And those who will turn from darkness to light, they become a real threat to the kingdom of darkness. And so Satan will come against them very strongly. And we need to have them in our prayers. Why? Because now they know God. They know God. They didn't know him before. As a matter of fact, they were mocking him, ridiculing him. When we walk in darkness, that's what we do. But when we walk in the light, we know who he is. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And that's an interesting statement. He who knoweth not God, it says here, loveth not. Because he doesn't know God, he can't love. And you can use the word love, but using the word love is not loving. Truly, one loves and can only love when the Spirit of God is in their life, can they love as God loves. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Now, this is where we're talking about what happened. If you're a Christian today, what happened when you became a Christian? How did God reveal his love to you? You just stop and think about that. How did God reveal his love to us? Prior to that, there's all these attractions of the world, and a lot of young people are caught up in being attracted to the things of the world. Fame, fortune, money, having their name known. One of the things you're seeing today, which I didn't have to worry about when I was a kid, was trying to gain fame through posting YouTubes and having Facebook, and see how many followers and friends you can get on Facebook, and how many Twitters you get, how many people are following your Twitters and tweets, all of this type of thing. And look at how famous I am. I was just looking at people say, well, how can you get all these people, how can people have, you know, like 10,000 friends on Facebook? And do you realize that there's people that will send out deals, will you friend me? And you have no clue who they are. But they just want to be acknowledged by the world that I've got, you know, 2,000 friends. How many friends do you have? Well, how can you have 2,000 friends when you don't even know who they are? You don't even talk to them about the most intimate things. You don't have any relationship with them at all. You see, a real friend and true love, you care and are concerned and you fellowship and are intimate with and communicate with, and that's what God did with us. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Okay? Now just stop and think about that statement. We know in the book of Ephesians when this plan was put into place, before the world was even created. You know that before the world was created, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit determined that Jesus would take on the form of a man and come into the world to redeem the world of its sin. Paul tells us that that occurred before God even created anything. Why? Because God, knowing the beginning from the end, knew that when he created man and gave man a choice and a free will to choose whether he would rebel against God or walk completely in obedience to God his whole life, that he would choose to rebel. Having chosen to rebel, he had rejected the love of God, and the only way to get that relationship restored was to redeem man back. And so God chose to send his only begotten Son, that is the second person of the Trinity, in that God would take on the form of a man and become man, that he who is without sin could become sin for us. And so John reminds us of the fact that the love of God manifests itself or revealed itself in this very act. Would we lay down our lives for our enemies? Just stop and think about that. Paul talks about the fact that someone might lay down their life for a friend. Someone might lay down their life for someone, like a father may lay down his life for his children, or a mother for her children, or a father, or a husband for his wife. But would you have an ardent enemy, someone who desired to do evil against you all the time, and it came to the point where the only way that they could be delivered would be you'd have to lay down your life? Would you die for them? Well, the answer is, well, what kind of a fool do you think I am? Why would I do that for my enemy? But that's what Jesus did for us. In that we who were at enmity, that is, enmity is being at odds in a real warlike fashion, fighting against God, he laid down his life to redeem us. That is the depth of his love and how much he loved us. And that's how he showed us his love. That's how his love manifested itself towards us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live through him. That we might live through him. Herein is love. Now, he's going to give us the definition and the reality of God's love. Not that we loved God, okay? The definition of love is not found in how much we cared for God and consequently what God could gain from us. That's not the definition of God's love. I was going back to earlier in my message. That is the way that men determine what love is what I can gain from you. Instead, that's not how you define God's love, because he could gain nothing from us. We were his enemies. We stood against him. We desired not to follow him. We desired not to obey him. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us in spite of that. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation is a strong word. Some of the new and or modern translations weaken the word by using a different word than propitiation. And I forgot to write down one of them, and I already forgot of it, but it's a lot weaker than propitiation. Look into the New English Bible, and they eliminate propitiation totally and replace it with a different word which is not as strong at all. But if you go back into the Greek, what the word is in the Greek means propitiation. Well, what does propitiation mean? Well, in English, propitiation means satisfaction or setting of the issue of sin. It's the satisfaction of sin is being dealt with. The whole issue is satisfied. It's completed. another word that some translations use, which is similar to a propitiation, but it's still not as strong as propitiation, is atonement. Atonement means a reconciliation after a controversy or where there's a problem of warring between two factions. Atonement means that this has been settled and dealt with. Propitiation means that it's a dealing and that it's totally covered. It's gone. It's not an issue anymore. It'll never be an issue again. That is the strength of the term propitiation. There's another term that is used in Scripture, expiation, which also means the satisfaction or to the reparation, that is to repair the torn relationship. But again, it's not to expediate something, or expiation is not as strong as propitiation. So looking at propitiation, what is the real depth of the meaning when he talks about Jesus became the propitiation for our sin? Well, it means that not only did he become that which put, where there's this rift between God and man, there's this war, and all of a sudden he comes between it so that once again God and man can come back together. It's stronger than that, because to propitiate something means I take and I place on you what needs to be done so that it can be placed upon me what needs to be done so that the total healing can be occurring. What happened when Jesus came? He took our sin and placed it upon himself, and then he placed his righteousness upon us, that this healing could become, and we could, the restoration of the relationship between God and man could occur, and so that the healing could once again be there. And we could really be, have fellowship with God the way that God intended us to have it. And that we could come and be with him and could be called his children again. It's a much stronger term than expiation or these other words, atonement, although they have a similar meaning, the strength in propitiation. And it deals with really the death of Christ and the blood of Christ and the fact that Christ had to do this. He had to become the covering of our sin and take the penalty for our sin upon himself, or it couldn't be satisfied, or the penalty could not be paid. Now, if you look at why would some current and modern translations weaken that? Because Satan wants to weaken the gospel. He doesn't want us to understand the depth of God's love. Do you realize what that means when Jesus took our sin upon himself, that he could place his righteousness upon us, so that when God the Father looks upon us, he doesn't see our sin, but he sees his Son's righteousness? That is real love. Because Christ could gain nothing from that. He had to pay, and pay tremendously, for that to occur. That's love. And all that he gained was to redeem us or buy us back. Just in closing, give you the example from Hosea. We've studied Hosea. It's been a while since we looked at it. But I just want to come to the end of the relationship between Hosea and his wife Gomer. Hosea loved Gomer. Gomer didn't love Hosea. She was pursuing all other men. She had illicit relationships with a number of other men, and the whole time she was doing that, it got to the point Hosea didn't even know if his children were his children. And all of a sudden, the Lord does something to Gomer, in that he causes all of her lovers to become just repulsed by her, and so they don't want anything to do with her. And so she's all by herself now. And she has nothing. And if you were a woman in the Hebrew culture at that time and didn't have a man to support you, you were probably in really big trouble, and she was in big trouble. She didn't have any means of support. She didn't have any means to earn a living. And so consequently, she ends up being sold as a slave. And when they sold you into slavery, oftentimes it was very, very humiliating because they would strip you and put you up naked so the people could see exactly what they were buying. And so that is what she's facing. She's being on the slave market, being sold as a slave, and the person who buys her back is her husband, who she had constantly rejected and had done everything she could to spurn him and mock him and make his life miserable. And he's the one that buys her back. That is a picture of God's love for us, was Hosea's love for his wife. She could give him nothing and had given him nothing but grief, but he still bought her back because the Lord said to buy her back, because that's what the Lord was doing to Israel. That's what the Lord would do for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the love of God. And we have experienced it. So if you're a Christian tonight, you've experienced that the moment you became a Christian. That's in the past. Next week, we're going to look at what God is doing in his love in the present. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Help us to understand the depth of your love. Help us to begin to get a handle on what your love is. And it's not the love that Hollywood talks about, but it's the love that's expressed by you, because you are love. Go with us and help us to have an understanding of this, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.